Wednesday afternoon, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. The city of Vancouver has an awful lot of really powerfully smart, talented, and wonderful writers in their community. One of the best in that city is Sam Weeb, who is my guest today. He is the author of the new book called Cut You Down. He also wrote, he's the author of Invisible Dead, which is a critically acclaimed first novel in the Wakefield series, as well as the standalone. He wrote the standalone The Last of the Independents. His work has won the Arthur Ellis Award and the Kobo Emerging Artist Prize, and he's been nominated for a Seamus and has been shortlisted for the City of Vancouver Book Award. He also is a script writer. I can't wait to talk to him about all the other things he does. I'm glad to welcome Sam Weeb to the show. Sam, welcome to Authors on the Air, finally.
Thanks so much,
Pam. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm so glad you're here. I love your work. Your book is spectacular. I want to say at the get-go right now, if someone calls in to say hi to Sam, the number's 347-633-9609. I'm going to give you a copy of his new book that just released, and you're going to love it. Cut You Down. Let's talk about this book before we go any further, because then I'd like to dig a little bit into your background.
Sounds good.
So tell me about – this is a second book in the Wakefield series, right?
Wakeland.
Yeah, Wakeland series. So let's – first of all, how about you tell a little bit about the series itself, the first book?
Well, the first book is Invisible Dead, and it's about a 29-year-old private investigator named Dave Wakeland who's looking for a missing woman. It deals with a lot of the murder and missing women issues that Vancouver has had over the last few years. And the sequel, Cut You Down, picks up where Invisible Dead leaves off. Dave is another year older, and he's got a different case, which takes him into some very interesting territory where he's looking for a student who disappeared in the wake of a college student government scandal where, you know, millions of dollars went missing, and this student, Tabitha, might be mixed up with some pretty unsavory gangsters. So that's where it starts.
Wow. I want to say, I want to make sure everybody understands that you were the 2016 Vancouver Public Library Writer in Residence. And I would imagine that that certainly propagated your love of writing about your city. What was it like to be a writer in residence for the library system?
It was incredible. You know, they've never had a crime writer or a mystery writer as their writer in residence. So, you know, the programs that I pitched them were, you know, crime focused. Like, we did a tour of the police museum, which was really cool. We did some screenwriting workshops and things like that. No, it was incredible. I got so much enjoyment out of that. The only sad thing is that now I go back, like, to the library, and because I'm not writer in residence anymore, I kind of feel like Ray Liotta at the end of Goodfellas, where he's like kicked out of the mob.
Right. Yeah, you kind of lost your home there for a while, huh?
Yeah, the security guards kind of look at me with pity now, but you know.
I doubt that. Let's start off. You know, I want to kind of go back to the beginning, Sam, because I don't know a lot about you because you don't really talk a lot about yourself in any place. I mean, you have a pretty spare website, which, by the way, is sanweeb.com, in case anyone wants to check it out. And I suspect you're just not a real good self promoter. I've never seen you promoting yourself. So, and that's kind of nice. I mean, you know, I appreciate that, but let's face it, you're a writer and you write all kinds of really interesting things. So tell me about where this writing bug started with you.
Okay. I mean, it started from an early age. I always wanted to be a writer. You know, in my teens, I had Stephen King's On Writing, and, you know, I was trying to follow, you know, the advice he gives with, you know, just sending out stories and collecting rejection slips. And, you know, thankfully none of those stories were published or survived to this day, because I'd be mortified. But, you know, that was really the training ground. And it's funny talking to writers now that, you know, that don't have that background of like sending things out and getting rejections. And, you know, it used to mean so much when you'd get like a little, you know, handwritten note, even if it just said like, you know, don't staple, you know, use paper clips or little things like
right,
that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's really where it started. I went to college for, like I got my MA in English, and, I was on my way to, you know, doing like technical writing and teaching, you know, first year English. And during grad school, I kind of had this realization that if I didn't, you know, shit or get off the pot, that, that my chance to be a writer would fade. So I basically took time that I should have been using for studying and getting, you know, better grades to write Last of the Independents, and then sent that out. And that's really where it started.
Wow. And that was just a huge hit. I mean, that was critically acclaimed. It was a great book, and the reviews were over the top on that. And so congratulations. And what a way to kick off your, what a way to kick off your writing career as your first published work there. In a full novel. Even Booklist gave you a starred review, and the first line I love, buckle yourself in for this one. For a good chunk of the novel, we're reminded why we like detectives' tales. At their best, they're smart entertainment. So there you go. That's a heck of a way to start off your literary career. Congratulations on that. So then which came next? Did writing for the zines or writing scripts? Because you have so many stories that you've written. I mean, I look at the list of short stories and where you've been published and all. You're everywhere. You're everywhere. You have written for so many different magazines and so many different articles. And you've even written Flash, and as far back as 2011. You must love writing an awful lot and have a head full of stories.
Yeah, it's definitely you know, my overarching passion. You know, it's funny, like when you're a teen, you don't really think so much about genre. So I didn't really realize that I was a crime writer until, you know, probably I was about early 20s, and sort of looked at my bookshelf and went, oh, most of these are mysteries and crime novels. There must be something there. But, you know, like at the beginning, like I just started out writing everything and reading everything. And, yeah, it's, you know, it's sort of grown from there.
But
you know,
that's kind
really
of a good thing, don't you think? Excuse me for interrupting. Isn't that a good thing? You read everything and you kind of write everything and you absorb everything. Because that kind of shuffles the deck for you and allows you to get really figure out what you like.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it builds a really like organic love of an understanding of a genre where, you know, if I went to try to write something now, you know, like in science fiction, like I'd probably need to spend some time like reacquainting myself with the genre, whereas, you know, I've been reading crime fiction from an early age, and you know, I'm pretty well versed in like what the cliches are, what the tropes are, and so forth.
Sure. I was reading something. Someone amongst I don't know how many people wrote that they were tired of reading and writing crime fiction, and I thought, blasphemy! You know, how can that be? And he said, I've read it all and I've heard it all, and I thought that's not true, because every day I get books and I'm so excited to start them, and I'm always so stunned at the storylines and how different they are. Are you tired of crime fiction?
Hell no. I think it actually gets better. And the great thing about connecting with other writers and going to conferences and stuff is that you learn about stuff that you never would have. So I mean, there's so many great writers that come out of like small crime magazines like Thuglit and Spine
yes.
Tingler.
Yes.
And just, like some of the small presses like Down and Out, I mean, the authors that they put out are just amazing. And it's not the kind of stuff you see in your normal, well, at least normal Canadian bookstore.
Don't see it in any bookstore. That's true, unless you're in, a bookstore that specializes in crime and mysteries, thrillers, suspense, that type of thing. I agree with you. You've been called one of the top 10 Vancouver crime novelists. So congratulations on that. For several years in a row, people talk about you and your books. So I think that's amazing. But there's another part of you that I'm very fascinated with, and that's your script writing. I almost said screenwriting, but... You do radio scripting, and I was fascinated by the fact that you wrote a script that was produced and released as a podcast on iTunes for Hamlet. How did that come about, and why? Why Hamlet? I mean, it's a great crime novel. It's a great crime story.
I mean, I've always had sort of a love of the classics, and really, before I started writing novels, I was looking for a way to, be creative and express myself, but also sort of have fun and collaborate with other people. And I started out writing radio scripts with my brother Josh, and we did one for Hamlet and we did one for Frankenstein. And we just got friends over and had them read the different parts and added sound effects. And the audio quality isn't the best, but it was a lot of fun. And again, like, you get to hear your words out loud and, Shakespeare's words out loud in that case. But, you learn a lot about things like pacing just from, hearing other people read it.
Well, you brought up something interesting and something I always like to ask the writers that are on this show. And that is when you're doing your own edits for your manuscript, do you read your dialogue out loud to see how it sounds?
Yeah, I mean, the whole book I have to read out loud just to get the rhythm right.
Yeah, I just wondered, because when you have multiple characters in most stories are not one person, one character. So you have multiple character voices, and got to be careful they don't all sound the same, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
They don't have the same nuance or the same slang. The language is very different between characters, and so that's a really good way to distinguish them. I just wonder how many people actually do that, because I think it's a really interesting. Do you ever listen to your books on tape? By the way, you're on books on tape, audio books now. Have you ever heard an audio book of yours?
I've heard a short excerpt. That's a very difficult thing to do as a writer, is like hear your words read back. The guy who did it did a great job. It's just hard.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Yeah, I wondered about that because it's always interesting to me when I go to a reading and an author will be reading, a short passage from the book. And I love how it sounds when the author reads it, because that's how it was intended. Because as the reader, I may be reading it a totally different way with a total different inflection in my voice or whatever. But and that's the thing I like best about going to book signings, is listening to the writers when they read passages from their books. Now, you wrote what you call a survival horror film script, a short survival horror film script, The Falls. What does that mean, that it's a short survival horror film? I don't understand what that means.
Well, it was a script for a sort of like a zombie movie with no zombies in it. I was making that with my friend. It's it exists in, you know, several pieces of footage were shot. I don't think it's going to be released anytime soon. And that's probably a good thing.
And do you have do you actually have a pilot in production or one you want to sell along with a feature screenplay beyond The Black Lights and Sunset in Jericho I'm referring to?
I've got a couple of things going on right now that are in the works. It's the toughest thing about screenwriting is that you know, some of the people making the best living are people who've never actually produced something, and vice versa.
Right.
So, yeah, it's sort of in the works. It's like doing a Wakeland TV show is something that we've been talking about too. But yeah, sort of just looking for the
right
people.
Would you prefer to be doing something like that versus writing the novel and then, you know? Which is your preference? Because you're a creative guy, obviously. You're looking for all these outlets, and whether it's just getting your friends together to read from Hamlet and recording it, or playing around with a horror short, do you want to do it all?
I mean, I love movies and TV, and I'd love to be involved in that, but I'd never give up novels because, I mean, they're like the deepest form of creativity. I mean, it's, you know, they're very personal and you have total control over it, which is very important to just have something that's yours. You know, film and TV is so collaborative and so dependent on things like budget and other actors, and all sorts of circumstances that I think I'd go crazy if I didn't have something where I could just write it and it would be done.
I understand that. I have a hello message to you, by the way, from KJ Howe. I was just chatting with her earlier today, so she said to tell you hello.
Oh, she's the best.
Pretty cool. She is. Yeah, her new book is getting ready to drop in April, and I've read it, and it's amazing. So I hope that you have a chance to, you know, obviously she's going to probably be doing something up in Canada. And I think, doesn't David Swinson have something new coming out, too? I know he's one of your friends.
Yeah, David's amazing. I mean, he's
a pretty interesting fellow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's hear about you. Do you have family who's creative, or are you kind of the odd man out when it comes to creativity in your family?
My dad was a studio guitar player, and like he used to do sessions and jazz club playing.
Wow.
So that was probably the biggest creative influence on me. You know, from an early age, like I saw him doing that. And, you know, live music and the TV industry in Vancouver went through quite a lot of changes. So, you know, seeing him deal with the, like the economics of that and then trying to raise a family was really, really interesting.
Are you a musician yourself? Do you have any interest in it?
I played the drums, which a lot of people would count as not being a musician for a few years, but no, I gave it up. I mean, the second you move into an apartment, your drumming career is over, right?
It's over, yeah. Well, that's known as percussion, and yes, it's music. It is instruments, but it's also a definitely lease breaker for sure if you do move into an apartment. That I understand. What do you like to do besides writing? You know, the things that you've pursued in your professional life. Do you have other interests?
I mean, I'm sort of just fascinated with Vancouver history. So, you know, just going around to different places and learning about the city and the culture and the peoples that were here before the city was here. I mean, that's been really interesting. You know, and then also, you know, I'm a big film buff, especially like sort of older like crime movies from the 70s. So, you know, as I'm saying this, I've got a poster of I think like The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 and Charlie Varick, like all the old Walter Matthau 70s crime movies are so great. And I just love the fact that he's this very like schlubby guy who's the hero. You know, he's not, you know, it's not James Bond. It's like a guy who looks like he's, you know, dressed in
he's
a $3
an
suit. Yeah.
Right. He's an everyman. Yeah. I understand exactly what you're saying. That's interesting. Do you have, I don't know if you have family or not, but I just wondered if they were creative too, if you've got progeny. if you have creative kids or brothers or sisters, but you don't have to say, it's really okay. I don't want to put you on the spot there. In case there's any Sams running around that you don't know about, you know, Sam Juniors.
Thankfully not. No kids.
Good for you.
I have two brothers, one of whom is a diehard like hunter and you know, country music fan, and the other one's a philosophy student who's going into grad school. None of us are similar at all. I think the only thing we have in common is that we like we like movies like Jaws, but that's about it. And booze.
How interesting is that? That is so strange. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, let's find out. Are you touring with this book? Are you touring up in Vancouver or any place else? Are you going to be chatting with anyone that we need to let everybody know about?
I've got several dates around town. Starting with tonight, I'm doing my unofficial book launch at the Chevy and Whiskey Room in Vancouver. Okay. Next month, I'm going to be going down to Seattle, Olympia. I think we're going to try to do Portland, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Fantastic. All of this, listeners, can be found on Sam's website. That's Sam Wiebe, WIEBE.com. And he's also doing a noir at the bar and several readings with some other great writers. So by all means, check out his website. Where can we find you on the net, Sam, besides your website?
Facebook and Twitter are the only two that I use. So Sam_Wiebe. On Twitter.
Very good. So I want to talk a little bit more about this series. The book is out. It's just been released. What is next for you?
Interesting. I'm not sure. I know that I've got the third Wakeland novel done, and we'll see what happens with that. I think that one ramps things up considerably. So, my dream would be to do a series of about 10 books like the Martin Beck series and, have them sort of chronicle this guy's life. So that's what I hope to do. And I've got a standalone that I'm working on too. So it's sort
fantastic.
Of like, more crime, it's like a small town crime saga. So hopefully you'll those in print at some point in the next couple of years. Oh, and, I just finished editing, Akashic Books, anthology called Vancouver Noir, so in their City Noir series, and that comes out at the end of the year. So that was
fantastic.
really great.
Oh, that's magnificent. Oh, terrific. And who's taking part in that?
I can't confirm until the contracts are in, but I can say that I have a story in there.
Well, that's good. It's always good to know that the editor has also got a story.
Yeah. There's some very cool writers in there.
When you look back at when you first started writing, even the, not even your novels, but the other things that you're writing, and you look at where you are today, what do you notice about your writing different?
I think the pace is better, and I think it's a bit sharper now. I didn't really, as I said, I didn't really have a good sense of genre when I was starting out. And, some of the things I did in Invisible Dead or in Last of the Independents, there were things that I felt were good for the story that, are actually no-nos in the publishing world. But it seemed to work out despite that. So I think I have a better sense of, what's necessary for the story now. And I do think that Cut You Down is the best book I've written.
What do you want readers to take away from any book that you write?
I mean, first and foremost, I think it should be an entertaining story. There's no excuse for, picking up a mystery and being bored. So I hope that it clips along at a nice pace and that the characters are well drawn. Beyond that, a sense of the city of Vancouver and some of the issues and the mysteries of that I think would be nice. And, you know, hopefully just, you know, to think about some of the issues in the story also. You know, one of the things that Cut You Down focuses on is, you know, how difficult it is to be a young person, you know, trying to get things that were very, very traditionally easy, like buying a house and having a stable job, and mm-hmm. and then the lengths that people will go when they don't really have those available to them. So hopefully there's some food for thought, but you know, if people just read it as a straight thriller, that's fine with me too.
When you were the writer in residence for the library, what was the most common question asked of you?
How do I get published? You know, how do I make $1 million as a writer?
Right. Well, if you knew that, you'd be doing it right now. The first book would be it. What do you tell people when they ask you that?
I mean, I think that it's asking the wrong question, right? Even thinking about like what the market wants, when you're starting out, like you just have to find what you want. And, you know, after I wrote Last of the Independents, I found out all these things like books set in Canada are a no-no, or books about private investigators are a no-no, or putting children in danger is, you know, frowned upon. And, you know, there are like five or six of these. And I looked back and I was like, holy shit, I did all of these. And it worked out anyway.
Right.
So, you know, nobody really knows. And anyone who says that they know what the market wants, you know, unless you're like, you know, Lee Child or Robert Ludlum or whoever, you know, they're wrong.
James Patterson. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. That's very interesting. When you sit down to write, are you in an isolated area? Do you need quiet? Do you need music? Do you mind being where there's a lot of chatter? I'm always amazed that writers can go to a coffee shop and pop on some headphones and, you know, right away. And then I always think, if I was a coffee shop owner, would I want you there? But for your two or three cups of coffee while you're taking up my table. But what's it like for you?
Well, basically, my girlfriend's an electrician, so she works really early in the morning. And so, you know, we get up at like 5 and then she leaves and I write until she gets home. On the weekends, I write while she watches Coronation Street. And, you know, it's tougher now that we live together. But, you know, she's very good about giving me space for my work. And, yeah, I mean, it's tough, but, you know.
But it is your work, and that's the whole thing. You said something that's very important, and that is she gives you space for your work, because this is not a game you're playing. I mean, you're in this to win it, so I think that's great. Someone's calling you.
Yes, sorry.
It doesn't matter to me. It's okay. I get beeps and calls all through, or meows from my cats or anything throughout the entire show. It doesn't matter. What do you want to tell everyone before we get off the air?
Cut You Down comes out February 13th, and I hope that you'll give it a shot. And if you're a writer tuning in for advice, just keep at it. And I mean, yesterday I went up to my alma mater because a class was teaching Invisible Dead. So it was,
oh.
I mean, that's such a bizarre thing, right? It was on their syllabus 10 years or 8 years after
great.
I graduated. So
it's amazing.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things where you're like, wow, like life's very funny. And, you know, I think you really just have to persevere, as cliche as it sounds.
How did you feel when you saw that on the syllabus?
I mean, it's an honor. It's also, I mean, the students were very cool. It was a good time, but, I mean, it is a validation of all the work that went into the book. And, you know, it was very cool.
Very cool. Sam Wiebe, I am so happy that you and I have had a chance to talk. I hope I get to see you at either Thriller Fest or BoucherCon or someplace in between. Are you planning on going to either of those?
We'll have to see. I mean, I'd love to do BoucherCon this year in Florida. That would be very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's only
Thriller
a couple
Fest
hours north
year.
Of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thriller Fest is going to be great this year, too. I'm actually going this year. I actually have a way to go now, so I kind of got sidetracked with moving last year and everything else, but this year I am going
yeah.
for sure. So I hope I get to see you there. Thank you so much for being on the show with me. I hope you'll come back and maybe you'll take a turn behind the microphone and interview someone you like.
I'd love to. And thanks so much for having me, Pam.
Okay. And let's talk about that. I'll be in touch. I'll drop you an email or something. Sam Weeb, the new book has Cut You Down. I'm going to wait 30 minutes after this show is over. If someone sends me a message and says they want to read the book, I'm going to send it out to them because I have an extra copy. And it's fantastic.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
Thank you for being with me. You're absolutely welcome. And good luck with the book tour and sell lots of books, okay?
Here's hoping.
Thanks, Sam. Okay.
Bye-bye.
And that's our show for right now. I'll be back at 7 o'clock tonight with Amy Hicks. She's a debut novelist. We're going to talk about birthing her book. And then after that, I'll be with Charles Todd. Thanks for being with me. And thank you, Mom and Dad. See you later.